October the 7th, 2023, and the date has become notorious because that was the day that Hamas invaded Israel. And on that day, a 17-year-old young man by the name of Amir was captured, an Israeli boy. Been with his girlfriend. They captured both of them, but they released her and they took him into Gaza. He was held there as a prisoner for 14 weeks. Didn't see anybody that he knew. They moved him four different times, or actually to five different homes and places. They kept him, and where they called it, "This is your house," and it was some sort of place that he could stay. And repeatedly they would tell him, either you're not ever going back to see your family again, or they would be kind and gentle, and somebody else say, "Well, don't worry, it'll probably be sometime next year, a year after, maybe you'll get to go home." They'd tell him, don't worry about them coming to get you, because Israel doesn't care about you. They don't care. Nobody cares anything about you. Nobody's looking for you. Nobody's going to come rescue you. Nobody knows where you are. And they were feeding him this constantly over that 14-week period. But you see, Israel did care. Christians cared. And people prayed. After he was released, he was interviewed, and I happened to see a portion of the interview, and they asked him, "How did you manage? 17 years old and away from home, someplace you didn't know where you were a prisoner, and you were hearing all these negative things all the time. How in the world did you manage? What kept you going?" He said, "Faith." He said, "I believed that I would be rescued in spite of everything that they told me. Faith is how I survived it. Faith kept me going." But see, the people that were praying for Amir, they had faith too. It wasn't just his faith that was involved. Those people were praying and they were trusting that God would answer their prayers, and somehow, some way, God would rescue that young man and return him to his family and those who loved him. Their prayers were answered because they didn't give up. Just like he didn't give up, they didn't give up either. They kept right on praying until they saw the results of their prayers. Their faith in God was revealed by their persistence in prayer. Keep that in mind. Sometimes our prayer life, our persistence in prayer, our lack of it, reveals the strength and the depths of our faith. Well, their persistent prayers were rewarded when Amir went back home. So this morning, I really want to just talk about faith. I was impressed by this, and I said, I want to talk to you and share with you out of the Word of God about faith. And I know a lot of the scriptures you're going to look to this morning and say, "Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that one." Good, write it down. Don't ever lose it. The definition of faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance. It's something that it's tangible, perhaps, or maybe not necessarily even tangible, but it's definite. It's the reality of the existence of something that's going to take place. It's the substance of things that I'm hoping for, I want to see happen, I'm praying for, I'm trusting God for, and it's faith that says it's going to happen. And it's the evidence of things that I haven't seen yet. That's what faith is, according to God's holy word. Both Amir and those people praying for him had faith by that definition. Now, whose faith did God honor by releasing Amir and returning to his family and his loved ones? As far as we could tell from his own lips, his faith was in the nation of Israel getting him back home. Those who were praying, their faith was in God. Big difference. Israel fails, God doesn't. The faith of those people who were praying was totally trusting in God to do what only God could do. So we've got two different kinds of faith. And we've all experienced these two different kinds of faith in our own lives. Maybe nothing this radical or this drastic, but we have faith and a hope, if you will, that something good is going to happen. It's a normal, natural thing. It's hoping for. It's a faith in. Yeah, it's all going to turn out right. Don't worry about it. But then there's faith in God. Faith in God is a gift. A gift. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and tells us, by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. We've all looked at this verse many, many times. Many of you probably even haven't memorized. How do I get saved? I get saved by God's grace. He has given me something, that salvation, that I do not deserve. It's a love gift from Him that was not deserved at all. That's a gift of grace. And we're saved by grace, but it comes to us through faith. Faith is the channel through which God's grace and His love and His salvation flows from the throne of heaven to our hearts.
Amen.
Our faith is that channel. It's a gift. I say, okay, well, tell me about this faith that I must have if I'm going to have the grace of God. In order to receive it, I've got to have faith. God's grace exists eternally with or without our faith. It's always there. He has it for us, but the only way we can receive it is through faith. If God's grace is connected to us by our faith, and salvation flows to us through that channel of faith, where do we get the faith? Where does it come from? It says it's a gift. God gives it to us as a gift. Well, it's a gift. That means we didn't earn it. We didn't get a long line, answer the right questions, check off the right number of boxes, didn't get the right pat on the head saying, well, God, I didn't do this, this, and this. Do I get the gift of faith? Or I did do this and this and this. Dear God, aren't you going to give me the gift of faith? Let's see. Who does God give the gift of faith to? We're talking about both kinds of faith now. The first kind of faith that we're talking about, like the young man had, that's a natural faith that just hopes for good things to happen. Now, I know some people are more optimistic than others. Anybody know a pessimist? I didn't say look in the mirror and confess. But you know some optimists too, don't you? Some of them are just naturally more optimistic and others are more pessimistic, and yet we still have that natural faith, that natural hope of something good happening. Where do we get that? Why don't we always take a totally pessimistic view of everything? Well, God has given us the gift of faith, of hope, that something good is going to happen. Just like those folks Amir had, that God was going to somehow rescue him, and the people that are praying, that trusting God that He would rescue him. So who does God give this gift of faith to? It says that's the way we get it, and you know, the gift of the faith it takes to be saved, He gives it to us, but who does He give it to? The Word of God answers that question, just like the Word of God will always answer our questions. Go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Last part of that. God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That includes ladies. God has dealt, past tense, He has already dealt it to you, friend. Listen, you already have the measure of faith. He's given it to who? You and the person not the one next to you? Oh yeah, the one next to you's got it too. The one in front of you, one behind you. Your spouse has it too. Your children have it too. Your parents have it too. He has given to every man, He has dealt it out to every man the measure of faith. He has placed within each of us the ability to trust Him to do things that only He can do. We have it. We may not exercise it, we may not use it, but we have the measure of faith. So what do we need to do? If we deal with the reality of what God has said, He has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith, we need to look and say, okay, God, if I've got the measure of faith, I need to locate it. I need to find it, and I need to take hold of it, and I need to exercise it. And when I think about finding faith and taking hold of and exercising, I'm reminded of one of my favorite passages in the Bible about Jesus being in the boat with His disciples with the storm, and He's sleeping in the back of the boat. Y'all are familiar with that. I mean, the waves are crashing into the boat, and these guys are scared to death. They're going to be drowned out there. There's Jesus snoozing in the back of the boat. Well, they wake him up. He says, Lord, don't you care that we perish? What did he say to them? O ye of little faith. He didn't say, you don't have any faith at all. No, he didn't say that. He said, ye of little faith. How did he know they had little faith? Well, he just knows everything, but anybody watching could tell they had a little faith. How could you tell they had a little faith when finally they realized the storm was too big for them? They went to Jesus. Oh, ye of little faith, when the storm gets big, go to Jesus. And it'll be evident you do have a little faith after all. Maybe it took a storm to get you to go to Jesus, but it did. And when you did, then it was evident to anybody who was watching and could see what was going on that you do have a little faith. You found it, you took hold of it, and you exercised it. What happened? What happened to those disciples when they exercised faith in Jesus? You remember what he did? Spoke to the storm. Peace, be still. Wind went blowing, waves got flat, and he said, okay, go on back. I'm going to finish my nap. Boys, go on. He calmed the storm. He did something supernatural that only he could do. The Lord does that sort of thing when we take hold of our faith and we exercise it. And how do you think the faith was in the disciples after that? Was it as little as it had been before that night? Their faith in Jesus really grew. They had seen Jesus do something they'd never seen before. He had rescued them from a terrible storm. Have you ever been rescued by Jesus from a terrible storm? Have you ever called him, oh, Jesus, save me, Jesus, help me, and he did it? What happened to your faith? It grew. And your little faith became a bigger faith and a stronger faith. But he dealt with you. That little measure of faith. He gave you the little measure and he enabled it to grow as you turned to him in your hour of need. So, okay, all right, I know that probably tomorrow I may face something really tough. And so I need to go to Jesus. I need to somehow to exercise faith. I'm going to have to find, I don't know, I've got that much faith. I'm not used to using that kind of faith. I'm used to doing stuff on my own. I'm used to pulling myself up my own bootstraps and using my own intellect and my own skills and all of my own connections. I'm not used to going to Jesus with this. Where do I find that kind of faith? The answer is you find that faith. Are you ready? You find that faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
I can say that unequivocally by looking at Romans chapter 10 and verse 7. It tells us that's where we find faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not just hearing anything, not just hearing a testimony from somebody else, oh, God bless me, he'll bless you. No, no, no. Hearing of the Word of God. You mean, so you may be thinking, well, if somebody doesn't speak the Word of God to me, I'm not hearing it, so I'm not going to gain faith from it. Somebody has to tell me the Word of God for me to hear it in order for me to gain faith. No. When you read these words up here, you're hearing them in your mind, are you not? You're seeing them with your eyes, but you're hearing them in your mind through your vision. So I'm hearing myself say, even though my mouth may not say it, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we hear the Word of God when we read it. Okay? It doesn't have to come through our ears in order for us to hear the Word of God. He can speak to us through our eyes as well as through our ears. And when he does, what's going to happen? Faith. Faith. That's where we find the faith. The word faith, I'm just one of these curious kind of people. I just had to look it up. The Greek word is pistis, and I'm very familiar with that word. I've studied a long time ago about what that was all about. But I said, it's used a lot in the New Testament. Do you have any idea how many times in the New Testament the word faith is used? 244. 244 times God talks to us about faith in the New Testament. That's not counting the Old Testament. Just the New Testament alone. I mean, that God wants us to know about faith. He wants to know more about faith than we know, how important it is. And so now I want us to look at some more verses of Scripture that will tell us how important it is to know about faith, what God wants to reveal to us about faith. We read Ephesians 2:8 a while ago about being saved by grace through faith. But now I go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 28 that says the man is justified by faith. Justified. Justified means that holy God has declared that you are no longer guilty. Whatever the charges might have been, you're no longer guilty. You've been justified. Why? You've been justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been justified because He took your punishment and there's no more punishment to be dealt out. You're justified. How did you get justified? By faith. By faith in what? In your goodness? No. By faith in Jesus. By the faith and work that He did on Calvary's cross as He took your punishment. By faith in what God has said about how that will work for you. How He raised His Son from the dead so that you have a living Savior you can call on to save you. By your faith in Him, you are justified by faith. Next verse, Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just here could be the justified ones. If you're justified by faith, then you become one of these justified people, okay? And that's who this is talking about. The justified people, the just ones, shall live by faith. It's not that that's what we ought to do, that's what we will do. That's a statement. Justified people shall live by faith. Are you living by faith? That might tell you whether you're justified or not. You may say, well, I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I hope I'm going to heaven when I die. Are you justified? If you haven't been justified, you're still carrying all the guilt of your old sins. You need to be justified. How are you going to do that? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and calling on Him to save you. But if you've been saved and you are justified, then your daily life is going to reveal it. You're going to live by faith. Amen. Your life is not going to be ruled by circumstances. It's not going to be ruled by federal law, state law, local law. Of course, those will rule over us, but that's not what controls us. We live by faith. And faith in God means obedience to God. You can't say, I trust God and I'll obey Him when I want to. No, if you really trust God, you obey Him. We have to be obedient if we trust Him. So our faith in God is revealed by our obedience to God. And it says very plainly here, that's what the justified ones will do. As a matter of fact, that particular phrase, the just shall live by faith, is found four times. Now, if God wants us to know something, all He has to do is put it in the Bible one time, but not, or twice, or three times. But four times you'll find that same exact phrase. The just shall live by faith. Can't change it. You can't modify it. You can't make it sound like something you want it to say. God has said the justified ones, the forgiven ones, the born again ones, the saved ones, they shall live by faith. And then He takes it a little bit farther in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. If we're living by faith, that means step by step. Step of faith. One more step of faith. What about the next step I'm going to take? I don't know. God showed me what to do. Which way should I go? Should I turn around? Should I go forward? Take another step by faith. And what about the next step, Lord? Where should I go? By faith. And at the end of the day, you have walked by faith. That's it. We walk by faith, step by step by faith, and then we get to the end of the day, we have lived by faith. Isn't that a simple plan? God is simply saying to each and every one of us, trust me. Trust me. Trust me for the big picture. Trust me for your whole life. Trust me for each step. Every day, live by faith. Step by step. Walk by faith and not by sight. Because what you see will deceive you. God won't. God won't deceive you. This morning when we left Highway to come to church this morning, couldn't even see to the edge of town. The fog was so thick. I mean, if I went strictly by what I could see, I'd have turned around and went home. I mean, because I couldn't see any road more than about 100 yards. There was nothing. I told Pat, look, there's a wall. Don't go by what you can see. You go by faith. By faith, I knew that road continued. Trusted God. We went on through the fog. Fog lifted, and here we are. Not by sight. Oh, we need our sight. We need to use it and use it intelligently under God's direction. But we need to be having our faith in Him that He reveals to us in our sight what we need to see. And ultimately, the things that we cannot see, we still follow Him step by step in faith. Okay? Let's go to the next verse. Actually, the last two verses, I didn't know to reverse them or not. But we'll take this one as it is. The last part of Romans chapter 14, verse 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Oh my goodness, that means He told me I'm to follow Him. I'm to walk by faith, live by faith, take each step by faith. And if I say, Lord, should I take another step forward? And He says, no, and I take it. Guess what I just did? He said, that's sin. You have disobeyed me. You're not living your life my way. Well, Lord, I did all day yesterday. I mean, I went to church. I did real good yesterday. I didn't get in any trouble. You just took a step I told you not to take. Step by step, we walk by faith. And whatever we do, whatever steps we take, whatever actions we take, whatever things we get involved in that is not by faith, if we're not trusting God for it and asking His permission about it and asking Him to direct our lives in it, He said, that's sin. That's sin. It's not complicated. If we're doing something contrary to the will of God, it can't be anything but sin. And look at the next verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. God, I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to be the best Christian I know how. I looked at all the rules and the regulations and all the do's and all the don'ts, and I'm doing the best I can. He said, are you living by faith? Or are you just trying to keep the rules? Are you just trying to say, I don't do that anymore? Well, that's good. If you've cut some sin out of your life, that's good. But He says, are you living by faith? Without living by faith, step by step, we cannot please Him. We can displease Him, but we can't please Him except by faith. Oh, how important is that word. You'll see there's a noticeable connection between our having faith and our actions. If we claim or claim to have faith, there's going to be evidence of it. I mean, God sees our faith, but the rest of the world is going to see the evidence. Either we have it or we don't. If we have faith in God, we'll obey God. James deals with that in the book of James. Go to the second chapter of James, and we're going to find here in several verses that James just hits it hard. He hits it head on. He says, faith without works is dead, being alone. He says, you've got faith, okay. Your works, how you live, what you're doing on a daily basis. You know, if a man or woman has no desire to obey God and live for God, or even have a desire that they have faith, they may have faith, and they will, because He gives to every man the measure of faith. They'll have faith, but the faith is dormant. It's not controlling their lives. It's not directing how they live. He said, your faith is just dead. Your actions are not revealing your faith. Your faith without works is dead. Well, dead faith can't save anybody. Because dead faith will not call out to Jesus to save them. It takes faith to call on a dead crucified Jew from 2,000 years ago to save you. If that's your picture of Jesus. No. You have to have faith in the living Lord Jesus Christ to save you, or you wouldn't call on Him. But if you do have that faith, you'd call on Him to save Him. But see, dead faith won't call on Him to save you. Dead faith won't trust Him to be the Lord of your life. You say, oh, I called on Jesus to save me. Okay, is He the Lord of your life? Oh, that too? Dead faith is going to say, no, I don't need Jesus to direct my life. Dead faith is not going to trust Jesus to be Lord, and dead faith is not going to be rewarded with a rich, abundant life that He can give. Dead faith won't get you to heaven. You can have faith, but if it's dead, it's not going to get you into heaven. So the question is, not do you have faith, because we've already established from looking at the scriptures, God has given you the measure of faith. You've got it. What kind do you have? Dead faith or living faith? Let's look at the evidence. In James chapter 2, verse 18. He said, yeah, man, say thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. He said, I can show you the evidence of the faith that I have. Just follow me around a little while. You'll see that I do follow the Lord in my steps. I do let him guide and direct my life. There's evidence there that I'm not living like I used to before I was saved. I'm not living like the lost person that's living around me. No, there's evidence. I'll show you my faith by my works. And so he challenges the individual and says, I've got faith. And he said, but you're not showing me your works. And God can see your faith, but the rest of the world can't. We have to be walking by faith, obeying God, or there's no evidence. The 19th verse is, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and are tremble. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people tell me this. When I ask them, if they just cold call, meet somebody on the street or a coffee shop or someplace, and just ask them, just out of the clear blue, tell me, I just got a question for you. And they say, what's that question for? It's the most important question there is. Well, what is that question for? Do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die? Well, I believe in God. And you want to turn around and walk away like that's the final answer. Well, listen, if that's the final answer, we got to look at this verse. If that's all you got, you're in deep trouble. I believe in God. I'm glad that's the right step in the right direction, but that's not going to get you where you want to go, because it says very plainly in the Word of God that the devils also believe and they tremble because they know what's coming. You see, they haven't been saved. Can't be. They're devils, but you can be. Don't be like them. The 20th verse says, faith without works is dead. Same thing it said in verse 17. If you really believe in God and you're putting your faith and trust in Him, your life is going to be different. It's going to be noticeable. You'll be living an obedient life step by step by faith. So there's no question. Every one of us has faith. God has given it to us. If He hasn't given us faith, He lied. And if He's lied, He's not holy. If He's not holy, we have no hope. There is no heaven. It's nothing but hell. Oh no, God doesn't lie. He said, I have dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you have faith and I have faith. But the question is, does your faith enable you and inspire you to call on Jesus to save you? And have you done that? Have you surrendered your life to Him as your Lord? If your faith is the living kind of faith that God has given you, you've exercised it, you found it, you've exercised it, you've called on Jesus, and you're letting Him be the Lord of your life, then you've got a good living faith. Is your faith encouraging you to live your life His way, or are you just content to live it any old way or the world's way? See, true faith in Him means, I want to be obedient to You, Lord, because every choice, every decision You lead me to make is the right one. Amen. Anything else just comes up short. Is your faith in Jesus real? What kind of faith do you have? I can't answer that for you, but God can answer it for you. And if you're not sure of the answer, you need to get Him to reveal it to you right now. That's the most important thing there is. What kind of faith do you have? If you're not sure you have saving faith, that is trusting Jesus to save you, oh, listen, take hold of the faith that He has given you and exercise it. Call out to Jesus like the disciples did in that boat. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, don't You care that I perish? I know You do. Jesus, come save me. Jesus, come take control of my life. I'm putting my faith and trust in You. I know that's not the wrong thing to do. So if you're not exercising faith in Jesus in your life day by day and for all eternity, I want to give you a chance to do that right now. That's why we give an invitation at the end of every service and why we're going to give one now. It's for you. Exercise your faith today. Walk by faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your wonderful gift of faith. Lord, that's nothing we can't generate on our own. We can't buy it. Can't earn it. You just give it to us because you love us. And you know we need it. Father, each one of us has the gift of faith. We may not be using it right. We may not be exercising it. We may be ignoring it. Oh, Father, if there's anybody that's doing that today, I pray you'll open their eyes. Let them know that whatever is not of faith is sin and you hate it. Oh, Father, may they repent today and surrender it all to you, totally by faith. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.